You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Coming up next is a replay of our Sunday, December 31st church service with a message from Len and music from Ellen and the worship team. God bless.
How y'all doing this morning? Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, and let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forsakes his soul?" You know, people, come right down to it. It's all about the cross. I don't know if some of you have been down to our place. We've got a greenhouse there. And we made a cross. It's right in front of the greenhouse. It's from an old wagon my grandfather bought in 1947. It's a reach. It connects the axles. It is an old rugged cross, but I sit in my easy chair and I just look at that. It's amazing what he has done for us on that cross. I think myself, I forget about that, what the price he really paid. I pray, Heavenly Father, again, like pastors prayed for Roy and Edie, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, for Yurt over there in Kelowna, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord God, for all the people that are ill. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you'll prepare us for 2024, what's ahead. We do not know what's ahead of us, but we do know that you're on the throne, and we do know we can trust you. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us every moment of the day, and we will listen and respond to what he tells us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. Would you stand with us, and we're going to worship the Lord and lift his name on high this morning and just focus on him and thank him for all his blessings, all his goodness, and just thank him for this next year that's going to come, and that he will be a part of it in our lives, every part of our life.
Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see Jesus lifted high, a banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know he is the way to heaven. We want to see
this morning. Jesus, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
It's time to dismiss for children's church. Those who are between the ages of 4 and 11, if you want to head out those back doors and downstairs, I'm sure they have something fantastic in store for you this morning. I want to thank the Holy Spirit this morning for preparing the songs that we sang, preparing the leaders to pick those songs, because they fit so well with where the message is going this morning. The Lord could still come in 2023, amen? But he's only got about 14 hours in order to do it. Isn't it amazing how fast time flies by us? It's hard to believe we're approaching 2024. Seems like only a couple of years ago we were dealing with those dire predictions of Y2K, the devastation of 9/11. But there's no time like the present. Today is a perfect time to take stock of how well we have walked in the pathway of the Lord in the past year, the path that he's laid out for us. We need to ponder that, not only as individuals, not only as families, but as a body of believers here in Creston. How well have we walked in the ways of the Lord? This is an ideal time to look both ways. First, at our past, to see how far we've come in the past year. Have we truly progressed and grown in the Lord spiritually? And secondly, looking forward, we look to the future to ponder where and how God might lead us in the year ahead. Are we completely open to wherever God would take us in 2024? Be truthful. This message is not about resolutions, but about taking up a challenge to ignite a passion for God and following in His leading wherever He may lead us this year. I think of a resolution as something that we're resigned to do, a self-imposed obligation that we make that becomes a drudgery, like dieting. A challenge is so different. It's something we pour our hearts and our souls into with anticipation and joy and great fervor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning You would put fervor in our hearts, ignite a passion for what You would have us to do as we go forward into 2024. May we follow the Spirit, the leading of God, as we've just sang in these songs that we got led in this morning. So guide and direct, we pray in that. Teach us Your way. Help us to rely on Your word, to seek a path forward that is solid and straight and leads to Your glory. Father, bless each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In today's scripture that we're going to read, Moses is reminding the Israelites of what God had commanded them to do almost 40 years earlier. The Israelites were camped at Mount Horeb. We also know it as Mount Sinai. This was the place where the Israelites received the Ten Commandments. This was the same place where God made His everlasting covenant with the people of Israel. It's also the place where they built that golden calf. The place where they worshiped foreign gods. These Israelites were camped there for almost a year. Almost a whole year. And during that time, that is when they built the tabernacle and all of its furnishings. Let's read our scripture this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's up on the screen there for you. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses proclaimed to the Israelites all that the Lord had commanded him concerning them. Now we skip to verse 6. The Lord our God said to us in Horeb, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all of the neighboring peoples in Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land. The land the Lord swore He would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and to their descendants after them." May God add His blessing to His word this morning. Our text highlights three tremendous challenges for the Israelites who had perhaps gotten too comfortable in the place where they were at. It was time to break camp. It was time to advance. It was time to take possession of all that God had promised them. Can we spiritualize that? I believe we can. Can we apply those thoughts to where we are at today? As individuals and as a body? Absolutely. The Israelite community had been out camping for almost a year. We all love to be out in nature, don't we? We like the fresh air, the green grass, and the relaxed atmosphere of camping. And it seems to me that camping was far better for them than making bricks in Egypt. Having every time they stood up to straighten their back, they got a whip across it. In many ways, it was an extended holiday. The Israelites had gotten very, very comfortable there at Mount Horeb, even though they were in temporary dwellings. God provided the fresh water for them day by day. Their meals, breakfast, dinner, and supper all fell from the sky. How that's sweet. Their clothes didn't wear out. They didn't have to do that dreaded mending. They didn't have to look for specials at the grocery store. If Erica was there, I'm sure she would make up a cookbook. Deep fried manna, sauteed manna, manna ripple chips, and quail under glass. The tabernacle was set right in the middle of the camp so every one of the Israelites could see it. They could walk to their church. Just think how easy it was for them there. Every day was exactly the same as the day before. Their expectations of each day was exactly what happened yesterday. And their whole year that they were there, almost nothing changed. We get comfortable in our routines, don't we? The message title is Rot, Rut, or Revival. A few years ago, when Canada was inviting all the Syrian refugees into Canada, the CBC did a survey, and they said that only 20% of the people that they talked to even were willing to come to Canada. 80% of them flatly said no. Apparently, they weren't as desperate to leave as what we were led to believe. It seems as though some of them had got comfortable in their setting. The government was supplying their needs. The government was giving them security. They didn't have to go to work each morning. Maybe I have that wrong, but that was the report. The problem with the modern church is that we are too comfortable in our temporary dwellings. Even though this world is not our home, we become so comfortable here. We've got the best of life. We know exactly what to expect when we come to church, don't we? Long sermon. And we go home feeling that we've met with the Lord. Theologian A.W. Tozer, in his book, Rot, Rut, and Revival, asked the question, what is the worst enemy the church faces today? Most of us, he says, will come up with the wrong answer. Many of us would single out the downward trajectory of our society. We're no longer considered a Christian nation. We've taken prayer and Bible reading out of our schools. We've become as pagan as Rome ever was. Others would point their bony finger at the internet. Oh, the rot that you can get on there with one click of the mouse. Much of the religious programming on the internet is led by Judas goats and smiling wolves in sheep's clothing. Many of the internet connections lead straight to hell. Some would blame it on the devilish aspects of evolution. They've taught several generations now that there is no God, and they've torn away much of the younger generation from the church. They're beginning to act exactly as they're taught, as they descended from apes. Some would underscore the breakdown in the family unit. Homosexuality is accepted in the church, in many churches now, just as it is in the world. Divorce within the church is running at the same levels as out there in the world. Some would point to the entertainment industry as the culprit. Sports and leisure sit in the front seat or the driver's seat, and God is relegated to the back seat. Others would point more directly at the church itself. They laid blame on the different denominations, the modern translations that we have, the rise of the prosperity gospel. Liberalism has taken its bite out of the church. Feelings or emotions have taken precedence over biblical faith. True worship has been hijacked by strobe lights and stage performance. Truth has given way to the belief that hell is only symbolic. That sin is merely making a mistake. That all men will eventually get to heaven. And once you pray that sinner's prayer, you can live as you like. You've got your free ticket. Now, in answer to his question, Tozer says this: the worst enemy of the church is the dictatorship of routine. I want to quote him a whole paragraph here. The treacherous enemy facing the Church of Jesus Christ today is when the routine becomes Lord in the life of the church. Programs are organized and the prevailing conditions are accepted as normal. Anyone can predict next Sunday's service and what will happen. This seems to be the most deadly threat in the church today. When we come to the place where everything can be predicted and nobody expects anything unusual from God, we're in a rut. The routine dictates, and we can tell not only what will happen next Sunday, but what will happen next month. And if things don't improve, what will take place next year? When we've reached a place where what has been determines what is determines what will be, unquote. Let me ask you, are we prepared to leave the routine of the church behind us and move on to real revival and spiritual growth? That's what those songs we sang this morning were about. And since we're on the radio, this is my challenge to all believers in all the churches here in Creston. As Moses stood before the Israelites, he challenged them with three things. The first was to break camp, get dressed, and move out. What does it really mean to break camp? Well, of course, the hikers and the vacationers, campers would know that. Anything is of value is taken with you, and that which is trash is left behind. It is burned. They leave nothing behind but a coal fire pit. When the Israelites pulled up stakes, they left nothing behind, nothing to go back to. The tabernacle was folded up. Their tents were folded up. The manna stopped falling to the ground, and I'm suggesting that probably the water stopped flowing as well. There was no plans to ever go back to the spot where they were. And it doesn't matter if it's this church, the Baptist church, the Covenant church, we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to direct our paths into the future. We need to let him take control, even if it is scary. And it's okay to be scared. And it's always scary when we leave our comfortable position, our comfortable nest. Eagles and some other birds, they will literally kick their young out of the nest when it becomes time, because the young get so used to their comfortable position. Mom and dad supplies everything they need. So when the time is right, they literally push them out of the nest and they have to fly. There's no going back. Several military leaders of the past have burnt their ships on the shore of wherever they landed so that their men had to go forward. They could not retreat. William of Normandy did that in 1066. He burnt his ships. Cortez burnt his ships on the shores of Mexico in 1512. Going forward to engage the enemy was their only route to victory. Now, I'm not advocating burning the church. Don't get me wrong. We had a fellow in Meadow Creek. He offered to do that for me just so we could get a new church. We do need to leave the past behind us in order to go on to victory. Again, this applies to each and every church and each and every believer. Christian churches need to think beyond their routines, beyond their walls, beyond their comfort zones. Is there an amen in the house to that? We can't rest on the laurels of our past. It's important that we're faithful to God, what God is calling us to do today and that of tomorrow. The three Hebrew children, when they were facing that fiery furnace, they didn't reminisce on how beautiful the temple back in Jerusalem was. They were focusing on the situation at hand and how they could glorify God. Elijah on Mount Carmel, he didn't recount all the great deeds he had done in the past. He focused on how he could be used of God today to demonstrate to the Israelites the mighty power of God. This coming year, as a church, as individuals, we can no longer be comfortable where we are at. It's time we spiritually broke camp and go on to something greater. We need to look at our own relationships with our God. Has it gotten routine for us? Is something missing in our relationship? Do we long for something more? Let's continue on with our text. Secondly, Moses told the Israelites, it's time to advance. Think about it. God told the Israelites to advance, to go up and take possession of the promised land when? 40 years earlier. What had they been doing for the last 40 years? It tells us they were mired in unbelief. They were going around in circles in the desert accomplishing nothing. They had gone nowhere. They had accomplished absolutely nothing. They had nothing to show for 40 years. They hadn't engaged the enemy at all except for possibly a few small skirmishes. They hadn't possessed any land. They hadn't built anything. Nothing permanent. They had nothing to pass on to the next generation. Now that's a real strong question for us. What have we got to pass on to our next generation? Moses gave this challenge to break camp, move out, and advance right at the end of those 40 years of wilderness wanderings. How exciting that call must have been, the call to arms, after 40 years of aimless wandering. They were challenged to go forward, take possession of what God had already given to them. This brings us to the question, spiritually, what has God given us? What has he given us that we have not taken hold of? In what ways are we milling around rather than going in and taking possession of the promises? Now we may be thinking, oh, I'm old and tired. Oh, I hear that so often. So often. Or I'm just a farmer. I'm just a mill worker. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a student. We've got all kinds of excuses, don't we? I wouldn't know what to say. They might not listen to me. We haven't got enough workers. Haven't got the time. Scripture tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Look at how the radio ministry has flourished, blossomed. Almost accidentally, but God had his hand in. It came out of COVID regulations. It started very small. But look how God has blessed that. All it took was a few committed people, and he was able to bring it to pass. The challenge from Moses to the Israelites was the Israelite test of faith. Would they believe that God could fulfill the promises to them? The promise that he made to Abraham, that his offspring would possess that beautiful land? Oh, they understood that God could provide food and water for them. They'd seen that for 40 years. But could God take them into that land where there were giants in fortified cities? I really have to wonder what the fireside chats were like that night after Moses issued that challenge. I wonder how large those giants had got to be, how fortified those city walls were. And I wonder if some of them were reminiscing how good they had it back in slavery in Egypt, when Egypt was killing off their babies. And they were making bricks. Our Bibles are full of insignificant people who accepted the challenge to break camp and to advance against the enemy. Each of these individuals actually changed the course of history. Shepherd boy named David. We're familiar with that story, aren't we? Changed the history of Israel by facing Goliath by himself. The three Hebrew children defied the king Nebuchadnezzar to worship his command to worship the golden image. And God miraculously saved them from that fiery furnace. And the Nebuchadnezzar, he praised the living God and he promoted the three Hebrew children. Elijah stood alone on Mount Carmel with 850 prophets of Baal. And he demonstrated the mighty power of our God, the one true God, I might add. Gideon, the least in his family, was encouraged by God to choose 300 men to go out there, and he drove the Midianites out of the country. Philip, fleeing persecution, went down to Samaria, and what did he do? He started a revival through the work of the Holy Spirit. Why shouldn't we as Christians in Creston be able to rise up in the power of our God through the Holy Spirit and radically change our community? The groundwork has already been laid by those who have gone on before us. They had the vision. They took up the challenge. It's up to us to carry it on. Are we up to the task that God has set before us? But we, like the Israelites, must first break camp, leave the trash behind us, as it were, take with us that which is valuable, break free from the routine, get out of the rut that we're in, and allow God to move us out to a place where we can be effective. Does that stir your heart this morning? Does that resonate? Now, the third main challenge that Moses threw down to them is found in verse 8. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them. What took place almost immediately after that challenge? If we know our scriptures, we know that God moved in a mighty way. He led them to the banks of that mighty Jordan River. Now, this was a twofold test of faith, my friends. First of all, he could have led them to that Jordan River when it was in low flow, and it wouldn't have been a big thing to cross it. But he led them in high flow. It was impossible to cross in human terms. And we know the story how God dried up that Jordan River so they were able to cross. The second test of faith was once they had got across on the other side, they couldn't go back. They had to go forward. Had to trust God to provide the victory. And what a great victory God gave them. We know the stories, don't we? They didn't have to knock down the walls in Jericho. God did that for them. God confused the people. He put fear in their hearts. He gave the people houses that they didn't build. He gave them vineyards that they hadn't planted. He gave them fields and crops and vegetables that they hadn't labored for. Great are the promises of our God. Ask yourself right now, what has God promised you? Well, to start with, you can cross off a rose garden. That's not on the list, is it? He never promises that. But God has promised to go with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never start the church or individuals in a direction and then abandon them. He will see it through to completion. And I believe our God has great plans for the Grace Christian Fellowship Church in 2024. God has also promised to empower us. Acts 1:8 declares, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I think I need to add something here. When did the Christian church flourish the best? When did it grow the fastest? In difficult times. Look at the early church. Look at the Chinese church, the church in Iran and Afghanistan, even now. God is doing miraculous things in those places. Do you think his hands are tied when it comes to Creston? I don't believe so. God has promised rest from our labor. Notice it's not rest instead of labor, rest from our labor. Hebrews 4:1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. God has expectations for us. The Christian life is not lived out within the church, but out there in the world. So we must hoist our flag. We must take a stand. I believe our greatest challenge going forward into the new year is our fears. We fear to break the routine that we're used to. We fear where God might lead us. We fear what might happen if we got out of our comfort zone. We fear losing control of our lives to the Spirit of God. We want to keep a rope attached to the harbor, don't we? I think we as a church can identify with Israel. We have been at this place too long. Time to break camp. Leave those comfort zones behind us. Time to make fresh commitments. Perhaps there's some here that have never made a commitment to Christ. This is a time to make that commitment. Going into a new year, God will bless you richly. It's time to advance. Time that we impact our neighborhood and our town. Time to possess the promises that God has given us. If we advance and possess, we will indeed feel and know the blessing of God. We will see souls won to his kingdom. Tozer lays out those options: rut, rot, or revival. Let's choose revival. Let's take possession of all that God has in store for us. That's not my challenge. That's God's challenge to you in 2024. Now, if God is leading anyone this morning to come and pray for revival, let's put that in your heart. I'm going to invite you to do so while the worship team comes and leads us in a closing song and leads us into 2024. God bless you.
Why don't you all stand and we'll sing a final song here.
It's planted by the
bless you all in 2024.
The little country church where I grew up, and where I didn't grow up, rather, but we spent 20-some years in there. Every New Year's Eve, we'd gather for prayer. We'd pray the new year in. I think that's a good response. But since we're not having that, you know, again, I would invite people, if you want to pray for revival, if you want to pray for a new year, or God to renew in your life, whatever, then the invitation is still open to come and pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenges from it, for the songs that we've sung that challenge us to move on, to go forward, to trust in you, to follow you. Father, I pray your blessing on each one here this morning, that you would guide and direct them in the way that you'd have them to go. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in and listening. We'll see you next Sunday at Grace Christian Fellowship. We would love to worship with you.